2596 ajit hodilna patients a case of agent healthcare.gov. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Butte, that is true. The sound of the radio coming through KBMF LP 102.5.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Made for you and me. As I went walking that Ribbona Highway, I saw upon me that in the skyway, I saw below.
Good evening. This is Heartstock Radio. I'm Carol Murphy. Got a great program. Again, I'm really excited because we have two guests in studio. A lot of our interviews are conducted over the phone. And this evening, we've got Megan Babin and Cassie Wick. They're going to tell you all about disability. Thanks for being here. This is Heartstock, and I'm Carol Murphy. We'll be right back, and Cassie and Megan will introduce themselves. We'll be right back.
And all around me, a voice was sounding. This land was made for you and me. The sun comes shining.
This is Heartstock Radio. Here we are again. Thank you for listening. I'm thrilled to be here, as usual. It's a beautiful day here in Butte. In studio with us is Megan Babin and Cassie Wick. Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Let's start out with you, Megan. We always like to start out by learning just a little bit about our guests. Please, before we get into disability and all that you got going on, some really beautiful things. I'm so in love with this. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Megan.
So my husband and I moved to Butte last July 2017. I'm a pediatric speech therapist by trade, and knew that when we moved to Butte, I wanted to offer myself an opportunity to just do something different, take a little break from that career path. And I had met Cassie very, very quickly when we were looking for housing, and had mentioned to her my rehabilitative background, my also passion for cooking and baking. And literally the day that we moved here, we bumped into them on Food Alley at the Montana Folk Fest. And Cassie and the other collaborator, Todd Hoare, walked up to me and said, "Hey, do you do speech therapy and also like to cook?" And there was this big moment of, wait, what? And so there was sort of this underlying conversation that they were trying to get this wonderful project up and running. And then it kind of fell by the wayside. They respectfully were letting me sort of get my feet under the ground and explore Butte. And it was in the turn into 2018 that the conversation came up again, and they were looking for somebody to sort of take on this amazing community project. And so I said, well, let's give it a go.
And why disability? Was there something in your background that attracted you to the project?
Yeah, I think so. My philosophy when I was engaging with families, engaging with patients, was how do we make this functional? It really was about let's learn the skill, but then put it into a context that makes sense for that person or for that family. And Disability has this wonderful mission of trying to provide job opportunities and job training in a very functional way to individuals and families that are navigating different things in life. And so the fact that it was taking something very functional and bringing it into the community. And I remember there was one of our first events, I took a step back and the gentleman that was working on the truck, who's had a traumatic brain injury, he was working on his balance, he was working on cognitive tasks, he was working on social language, he was shifting attention. And so in this 1 5-minute period, I watched all areas of development be targeted in a very functional way that he could then take and put somewhere else in the community. And that was very exciting and inspiring.
And why Butte? Why did you come to Butte? beautiful Butte.
Butte sort of took us by surprise, I would have to be very honest with you. My husband finished his residency in Minneapolis in last summer. And when we were interviewing, our sort of mission and sort of statement to ourselves, we were going to say yes to anything, yes to any interview, yes to any opportunity. And so he was actually interviewing for a job in Billings when we found out about this one. And I remember he said, what do we know about Butte? And I said, no. We had a deal. And so we came out here for 4 days for him to interview. And from the moment the plane touched down until the moment that we left, we were blown away and completely knocked over by the sense of community, the passion in this community. The energy is synergistic. You can feel like something is happening here. We met incredible people. His interview was the strongest of anywhere else that we had spoken to. And there was this great moment as we were flying back to Salt Lake City. We were both very quiet on the plane, just sort of staring ahead. And he looked over at me and he said, I guess we should talk about this. And I said, you're right, we should. And he said, you go first. And I said, I think it's my number one. And he goes, oh my gosh, me too. So it really came out of nowhere.
And what does your husband do?
He's the radiation oncologist at St. James Healthcare. So he works back in the cancer center.
How about you, Cassie?
She's a really tough act to follow.
It's your turn.
I'm just like, I'm captivated by her. Still, after over a year, we feel very, very lucky to have her here. For a million reasons. So I think that I would like to start off just by saying this project, while it was a dream that we really wanted, it would in no way be a reality without Megan. So we are incredibly grateful to her. Yeah. So I am Cassie Wick, and I work at Montana Independent Living Project, which is a resource and advocacy center for people with disabilities. And so I am incredibly lucky because I have been able to partner with Todd Hoare for a number of years on projects that improve or benefit the lives of people with disabilities living in our community. And the best part about it is the things that we're doing are things that are not being funded by state project or state money or anything like that. We are having fundraisers and we are then doing different projects that really mean something to our community. So that has been incredibly exciting for us.
And you were a guest previously on Heartstock Radio.
Yes. I also have 5518 designs with my husband in Uptown Butte.
Mm-hmm. And Cassie and her husband, John, were our guests, and we talked about couples as entrepreneurs. It was a great program, and she's back, very happily back, and we're happy to have her as well. So let's go into, you are from Butte originally?
Whitehall,
close enough. Yeah. So here we are, and we've got this fantastic program that you guys have envisioned and brought into fruition. Who would like to start out by telling our listeners about your mission?
So I will just, so every year, Silver Bow Developmental Disabilities Council plans Butoberfest. And so that's an event that happens yearly. And every year the funds have gone towards something that will benefit people with disabilities. And so, you know, we bought a bus 1 year. I sit on the board of directors for that organization, but also work with people with disabilities. So it directly benefits the people I work with. So we've done that every year. And we built a teaching kitchen about 5 years ago, which to me was just such a profound thing that we were able to do to benefit our community and the people that we work with specifically. So it's located at 305 West Mercury. It's a 5-area cooking, like, kitchen. And so I use it to teach independent living skills training with people, and so does Silver Bow Developmental Disabilities Council, but also other programs come in and utilize that kitchen as well. So over time, we started to dream about different things that we would want. And one thing that we see that is an incredible gap in our community is people with disabilities being employed. So a couple of years ago, we decided that we would want to purchase a food truck so that we could have something that was self-sustaining so that we could employ people, teach them skills necessary to go out into the workforce, have a resume, and then also we could serve as their, you know, references. So last August, we purchased the food truck. And
you have to describe this truck because it's
adorable.
It is.
She's the best.
She is so cute. And she...
Does she have a name?
Oh, yeah. She has two names.
Oh. What are they, Meeks?
Oh, so she is a 1970s milk truck that has been converted into a food truck. So to say that sometimes she gets a little sassy is a mild understate.
She dies about 7 times every trip you take. So unless Todd's driving.
Todd Hoare has developed a lovely relationship with this van and or this truck, excuse me, and knows exactly what needs to happen when it needs to happen. So when she's in a really good place, we call her Marianne. And when she's fiery and, you know, just struggling, we call her Ginger.
She's the cutest, though.
But she's adorable.
So she was converted a number of years ago by someone still... Bob Wilcox, who is a dentist in town, actually said he was the one that converted that. He came and he's like, I made this.
Truck?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, welcome. Please come look at it. And then Chris Fisk actually had it as a spaghetti wagon. Nice. And then someone else had it and was doing them at the tech football games. And so we had approached that gentleman at that time and said, have you ever thought about selling this? And so he did. One connection that we cannot ever overlook is that Highlands College has been incredibly they have made everything that we wanted to do a reality. And so in keeping with that theme, Dishability, they have worked on her transmission. They have
totally renovated.
I mean, and the students are able to dream about the things that will work in there and work with us to collaborate. And so she has, you know, changed a little bit since we've gotten her to make her a little more functional. And it's just been such a fun endeavor to have her.
So have you ever thought of playing Gilligan's Island theme song as you drive down the road like a ice cream truck?
Well, she does have some wonderfully unique sounds already programmed into her that we enjoy making our presence known with dog barks and roosters crowing and then the generic ice cream song that plays over her loudspeaker.
I think Todd really likes to do the siren to definitely make people on edge.
We get a lot of head turns when we're driving her back to wherever she belongs.
So am I understanding correctly that it was brought to fruition by pure volunteers? You didn't have to get a grant or extra
right
money.
So the money came from Beautoberfest, and okay. So over time this is the 10th year of this event, and so every year we've kind of built the pot up to the point where we could purchase the truck and then do the renovations necessary. But also what we learned is the kitchen needed a whole lot of things to make it usable by people. So the kitchen that we built 4 years ago is a commercial kitchen. And so it's where we do all the food prep for the truck and then take that food out. But we also needed to purchase just an enormous amount of things to make a food. Running a food truck is not easy.
It is a
labor of love.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, when people are like, hey, I have an event today, can you come over? It's like, no, that is definitely not how this works. And, you know, we love it. So every time we take the truck out, the goal is to employ people with disabilities. And almost every time we employ 6 to 8 people, is that kind of a, and that is between dishwashing, prep, and then being on the physical truck.
So I'm really excited to hear more about training and the things that you've seen, the beautiful things that you've seen and happen in people's lives that you're working with. So let's talk about preparation. How did you get your crew ready for this?
I mean, I wish I could say it was not trial and error, but it was. you know, Cassie and Todd have been really lovely recognizing this is the first year of us doing this. So there's a lot of learning curves. And we're so grateful to the community also because they've been so patient with us while we found our way. So early on, knowing that we wanted to get people for PrEP involved so they could gain those kitchen skills, again, those occupational therapy skills, those very functional skills. I had to run the recipes a handful of times on my own before I could even know what I was asking. So we have a rotating menu of about 5 or 6 things that we tend to go through. And after we had done them once or twice, I felt very comfortable and confident, you know, pairing with some of the other organizations in the community. And I'm going to have Cassie help me fill in the blanks with some of the specifics. But so, you know, we'll have 1 or 2 individuals that will come in and work side by side with me or even on their own. You know, there's a list of instructions. That individual has a job coach that provides support as needed. And they do everything from wash lettuce to chop lettuce to do all of the chopping prep to helping actually make some of the sauces, things like that. And then, yes, each time that person can come back and have different experiences depending on what their interests are.
So you have a fixed menu, it sounds like.
Yes, we have, I don't know, maybe 3 to 5 things that we've sort of dialed in as things that we feel like don't kill us, but are delicious and also very well received in the community. We try to bring menus that are not something you can find here in Butte. So we found ourselves in a lot of international places.
Yeah. So share with our listeners, what are some of the delectable items that they can purchase?
So we've done curry naan tacos. So we've done a chicken tikka masala taco and a chana masala taco. We did a Mediterranean night that still lives down in infamy that I will not go into further. we've done Korean burritos that were delicious. We've done Thai lettuce wraps. We've done Brazilian bowls. So, you know, different bases and sauces and toppings and things like that. And then we've had a number of guest chef takeovers, which has been incredibly fun. As someone who is finding their way in the kitchen and, you know, did not get formal training, it's really fun to watch a chef walk into a kitchen and just be so comfortable and so confident, and you just stand there in awe. But they've come in and done some different Korean menus that's been really, really fun. So, yeah.
Surprisingly, they've both chosen Korean.
They have both chosen Korean, that's true.
And delicious. So who have been some of your takeover chefs?
So the first chef was a gentleman by the name of David Wandry, and he works for the Yellowstone Club as well as Holland Lake Lodge. And he's a friend of ours and found out we were doing this program and was so excited and so enthusiastic to take over one night. And he did an incredible job also really having an inclusive environment in our kitchen. We had a number of individuals with disabilities working with us that day. And again, watching him work was fascinating. Just so comfortable, so confident, so great at sort of instructing and talking about why we're doing things. So he took over one night and we did, Cassie, please say the name because I can never say it right.
Of who?
The bowls.
Bibimbap.
There it is.
Bibimbap. Ooh.
And so we did that night, and it was a huge success and so much fun. And then just last Friday, actually, Dave Andrews from Metals took it over and did bulgogi lettuce wraps, and they were absolutely delicious.
So we're just a tad past our halfway point. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back. And what I hope we can talk about is the folks that you have working and some of the experiences that they're getting. That'll be fun. This is Heartstock Radio. I'm Carol Murphy. We're here with Megan Babin and Cassie Wick from Dishability. We'll be right back.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw upon me that endless sky.
This is Heartstock Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Murphy. We're here with Megan Babin and Cassie Wick from Dishability. And we were just talking briefly, and we want to go ahead and clarify, because there are probably people out there listening who would like to rent or borrow. How does that work if you're a chef and you want to do a food truck night somewhere and use the van or Ginger?
Well, we hope she's not Ginger on the night you want to take her. So I think one thing that has been probably a little confusing, but we don't care, is that our friend Zhao takes Dishability out and operates under the Hungry Squirrel. It's the same truck, but she operates independently. But the thing we love about Zhao is that she also employs people with disabilities when she is taking out. So that might be, you know, dishwashing or whatever task she can assign to them. But our whole philosophy is that if you wanted to use the food truck, we are 100% open to that. But part of the criteria is that when you take it out, you are fulfilling the mission of providing job opportunities for people with disabilities. And that can look a lot of different ways. So, you know, it's a rental for you to use Dishability. It's a rental for the kitchen. And we find these to be incredibly fair prices. But overall, the whole reason behind Dishability is that it will employ people with disabilities. And so that is kind of the defining point. And if you are interested in doing that, you can message us through the Dishability page and we'll get back in touch with you. And that's on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Just on our Dishability.
And I have to give a little plug. Zhao is going to be our next guest on Heartstock. So we'll be hearing more about the whole mission and beautiful things that are going on. So that is a great segue too, to start talking about the folks who have employment opportunities and the process that they get to go through to prepare for employment.
So we are definitely under the philosophy of just like by fire, you'll learn how to do things. So
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah. And we think it works.
Yeah.
The thing about it is we are open to all kinds of people working there. And what we've noticed and what we know is that there's lots of people in our community that are not interacting with people with disabilities ever, daily, month. They're just not maybe interacting. And so I think for me, there's been a couple of powerful things. We have a couple of individuals who have more, you know, obvious disabilities that you're like, oh, you have Down syndrome or whatever. But then we have other people that you are more unapparent disabilities. And so that's traumatic brain injury or maybe autism or things like that, where there's a variety of people that are working in this program with us. And so one really important thing that I think happened was we were at the CrossFit event one day, and there was a gentleman with Down syndrome working on the truck, and a woman was looking at him and then at me, trying to figure out what was going on. And so she started to talk to me, and then she like shook her head and she was like, I don't know why I'm talking to you. And then she redirected her order to the gentleman whose job it was to take the order. And I just thought that was so perfect, because that's the ultimate goal, is that a lot of times we feel uncomfortable. If we feel uncomfortable with someone, we're looking to someone else to help make it faster or okay. And our whole philosophy on the truck is that if you're uncomfortable or you don't want to wait in this line because this person's too slow or too whatever, that's okay. We actually want you to learn about patience in this line, because you are actually helping someone gain a skill that they otherwise may not be given the opportunity to do. And so likewise, I have another young woman who works on the trunk, and she, before her first time ever, she was just like, I am having a panic attack. And I was like, okay, that's all right. Let's just like go together. You and I'll sit there. And then by the end, you could just see her level of confidence shift to this space where she was just like, I was good at that. And I'm like, yeah, you were super good at that. And now she's been working. I mean, I haven't helped her in a number of times she's gone there. She can go there independently. And now she's applying for jobs in the community. And she was just like, I'm going to be a cashier somewhere. Yeah. And she never thought that she would ever want to be a cashier. But she learned from this experience that she can, in fact, mm-hmm. do that. So, I mean, there's just been several powerful things that happen. There's obviously challenging things, too. one of the people who has a brain injury that works with us, that is such a different learning curve, and it's not necessarily a curve, but it is just brand new every time someone comes up to the window. And so we are ourselves learning how can we better help this person learn? And as we're helping him learn, we're learning about what we need to do better to prepare people for these opportunities. So that's the aspect of like the public seeing us doing it. Internally, there are a lot of them that are working in the kitchen have job coaches. And so that has been just a really special experience as well, because some people are not ready to be out front and doing that stuff. So they can work up to that point by starting in the kitchen and then interacting with us and then potentially saying, hey, I want to be on the truck sometime. And then we can honor that by putting them out there. And so it's just very flexible, I think, for us, and very open, and we want people to just embrace everything that Dishability is. So it's just been incredibly fun.
So what is that process that the people that you're employing and that you're training, what's the process that they go through, and how do you decide who does what? Because some people may be really good at one task and not so good at another. How do you figure all that out?
I would say we try to meet them where they're at. Mm-hmm. And kind of like Cassie mentioned, we try to figure out the scaffolding that they might need and the support that they might need in order to be successful. You know, it has been an incredible opportunity to collaborate with members of the community. The job coaches, I mean, we say to the job coaches and the individuals that are supporting us behind the scenes, we legitimately could not do this without you. The first few times we didn't have somebody supporting us behind the scenes. We only had people supporting us on the truck, and it was...
We did dishes until like 1 a.m. and we wanted to kill each other.
So just those collaboration opportunities of meeting someone where they are. And then, you know, Cassie's already mentioned the collaboration with Highlands College. I'd like to also mention Eco Montana is an incredible organization in Bozeman who has ties to this community for a variety of reasons. And she reached out to us very early on and incredibly generously donated all of our dishware and flatware for the entire 2018 year, because she just valued so much what we were trying to do. And so the response from the community has been so powerful. But yeah, I think, as Cassie said, we're pretty flexible and we really try to meet somebody where they are. And if somebody expresses interest, it's a matter of, okay, how do we get from point A to point B so you're comfortable, you're successful, and how much support do you need? And then let me back that off. Because we want these individuals, you know, who are working with us to feel that empowerment, to feel that confidence, and to have that independence.
Mm-hmm. And Heidi Drivdahl is also a previous guest, another cool chick.
She's fantastic.
Yeah. Just can't say enough about Heidi. So where are we going in the future? And speaking of the future, Buttoberfest is coming up.
Yes. So I'm going to do my best. There the, the 10th annual Buttoberfest, which helps Dishability stay in operation, is Saturday, September 15th from noon to 7 p.m. By attending this event, people are able to help fulfill this mission.
Can I say
definitely.
The other thing too I would say is the future also holds these individuals finding opportunities in the community. So OMG Mongolian Grill is a wonderful example that has really embraced our mission and now currently employs a number of individuals with disabilities. So I would say that's the future too, and what we're really hoping for.
I think it's the ultimate goal is that you won't work on the truck or in the kitchen forever. Your goal is that you will gain the skills necessary to work in our community, and our community will embrace you because you are going to be an incredible member of their staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a great model for integrating all of us into
the
community.
It's the absolute goal.
So no one's excluded. And like you said, just to be able to have contact. And it's a beautiful, warm feeling. Mm-hmm. So we've got probably about 3 minutes left. I'm hoping that we can talk about what your needs are and how people in the community can help you.
They can come out and... Okay. there are a number...
Eat our food.
Yeah, there are a number of events coming up in the fall that are available for people to come and enjoy the food. There's an event on September 13th where food will be available.
Yeah, there's, I mean, so you, if you want to know when events are happening, it's on our Facebook page, which is found under Dishability. We also have an Instagram page, which Megan is doing a fabulous job of updating.
It's really fun.
We are also a nonprofit. So if you find it in yourself that you'd like to give a donation, that is a tax write-off to you. And we happily accept. And please know that all the money from these endeavors, the whole amount of that goes to bettering the lives of people with disabilities in our community and beyond. And so we just really believe in this mission. And I don't know that everyone knows that that's what Dishability is all about, but it's so important and it really makes us our community a better place for everyone to live. And so we feel very strongly about the mission that we're trying to fulfill. And also just the amount of opportunities it's allowing people in our community to interact with people they're not comfortable with. And I think that has been really, really profound for us on this endeavor.
Do you have any stories that you can share with us? You did a little bit already of how people have been employed in the community. Is that?
I think OMG Mongolian Grill is a great example. And then I think also the example of the young woman that Cassie spoke of earlier, she is pounding the pavement and is, inspired. To find that opportunity that will tap into the skills that she's learned on the truck. And that confidence is going with her.
And how might folks reach you? You mentioned the Facebook page. Do you have a website or an email?
So we do have an email, disabilitymt@gmail.com. And then Facebook and Instagram, the handles are the same, just Dishability.
And then you can call Silver Bow Developmental Disabilities Council, which this is all housed under, at 723-2070. And try to reach Todd.
Once again, we have run out of time. And thank you so much, Cassie
and
Megan.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. We think you're the best.
And the reason we are is because of guests like you guys. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. This is Heartstock. I'm Carol Murphy. We'll see you next week. Peace. Bye-bye.
And the wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds roll. Was chanting as the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me. As I went walking, I saw a sign.
I don't know if y'all understand what you're listening to. This here, some backwoods, backwater, redneck, down to go on a fishing trip, throw a pole in the back of the truck, type of radio station. KBMF, y'all.
And on the sign it said, no
names, events, notable tracks, culture vectors, future classics, remarkable efforts.
What's going on here then?
New music. On America's Most Radio.
Keep tuned to this station for further information and tell your neighbors to tune in also.
Turn up the volume of your radio so that you can hear it in the basement.
KBMF presents Glock on This with your citizen DJ Doc Sevier.
But the question is more, how do you get there?
This is your citizen DJ Doc Sevier, and we are about to embark on your new music program, Grok on This. We're gonna hear from Mark Lanigan and Duke Garwood, track off of their new album coming up in the show, but we're gonna start off with Brick and Mortar, independent band from Asbury Park, New Jersey. They have a new album out called Meta, Etc., out on the 24th of August. We're gonna listen to a track off of that album called True. Grok on This going on for the next half hour. Stay tuned.
When television is good, nothing. Not the theater. Not the magazines or newspapers, nothing is better. But when television is bad, nothing is worse. I invite each of you to sit down in front of your own television set when your station goes on the air. and stay there for a day without a book, without a magazine, without a newspaper, without a profit and loss sheet or a rating book to distract you. Keep your eyes glued to that set until the station signs off. I can assure you that what you will observe is a vast wasteland. You will see a procession of game shows, formula comedies about totally unbelievable families, blood and thunder, mayhem, violence, sadism, murder, Western bad men, Western good men, private eyes, gangsters, more violence and cartoons. And endlessly commercials, many screaming, cajoling, and offending.